So what I want to do today, I have the privilege of studying with someone during the week, and we were studying the Talmud Beitza, and we came across a teaching, and it's extremely profound, and it relates to Shabbat. And what's amazing about when you study and you have time to study and you take your time and you explore the different possibilities and the different explanations of things. So we stumbled upon a Ramban, Nachmanides, who explains this initial teaching of the Talmud and opened it up for us so that we stumbled on some really amazing ideas. And I said, this is worthy of class to study together. And hopefully we'll be able to cover the subject matter in its entirety, even though the truth is that it's one of those things you'll see that it's going to pose a couple of concepts, and it's something that we have to think about. It's not like one of these, like, oh, this is a black and white, it's either this or that, but rather you'll see the nature of how the different commentators approached it, that it's not a black and white slam dunk type of thing, so that you'll see that it kind of leaves us open to think about, like, how exactly do we feel that this should be approached? Okay, so here's the story. So the Talmud says it's Beitza, on Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, so that's 16a. So here it says like this: it is taught in the Braita, they said about Shammai the elder that all his days he would eat in honor of Shabbat. Okay, so he would eat in honor of Shabbat. So what does that mean? Translation: how so? If he found a choice animal, he would say, this is for Shabbat. So let's say it's Sunday, right? So here we are, we're walking along, and we pass by a slaughterhouse, and they got a whole, slew of animals that are there. And, boom, I see, oh, wow, this is amazing. And I say, okay, I buy it, and I say, this is for Shabbat. But if he subsequently found another one choicer than it, he would set aside the second for Shabbat and eat the first. He would eat the first to leave the better quality animal for Shabbat, which continually rendered his eating an act of honoring Shabbat. So what it's basically saying is, so here he has, let's say he goes into the supermarket, let's just translate it into today, how we experience life. He goes in, he sees a beautiful cut of meat, and so he buys it, and then he goes the next day to the supermarket, and he says, by the way, he goes, this is for Shabbat. And then the next day he goes in and he sees even a better cut of meat. So the first one that he bought, he actually says, you know what? I have the second one is better. So the first one I'm going to eat tomorrow. I'm going to cook it now. And it's going to be for a regular day. And so when he eats that, it's actually something that's for Shabbat. Okay? Meaning that as he's eating the one that he just bought originally on the first day, and now it's no longer set aside for Shabbat, that's going to be his eating of that during the week is in honor of Shabbat. Okay? Okay, now, comes along. We always have Shammai and Hillel together. However, Hillel, the elder, had a different trait, that all his actions, including those of a week on the weekday, were for the sake of heaven. As it is stated, blessed be the Lord day by day. He bears our burden, our God, who is our salvation self. That's the line from the Psalms. Meaning that God gives a blessing for each and every day. Okay, so what means is that Hillel's approach is that he would basically say, I don't need to do this Shammai thing of, like, constantly being on the lookout for that which is going to be the best deal for Shabbat. I'm going to rely on the fact that when it comes to Friday or Thursday, God's going to send me the best opportunity for the best piece of meat for that week, for that Shabbat. So that the rest of the week, he's, okay with it, so that it's not like he's so worried about it. Like Shammai's approach, let's just go over each one. So Shammai's approach is that comes the beginning of the week and everything that comes along during that week, his mind is, I got to get the best thing for Shabbat. So the first thing I see on the beginning of the week, I'm going to set it aside. And if I don't see anything better the rest of the week, that first choice is the one that's going to be my special meat for Shabbat. Or if something comes along during the week that's better, he now will swap that one out, the first one, and go with the second one. So he's always, his whole week is set aside, is geared towards that. Whereas Hillel, the way the Gemara says it, had a different way, a different approach. He wasn't worried. He didn't have the concern at the beginning of the week that I have to already start, getting myself geared up for Shabbat, because in a certain sense, what he's saying here is that it's going to be good. God's going to send me what I need closer to game time, as they say, right? So I don't have to do this. And so then it just, the Gemara sentence ends off and says, Beit Shammai say, from the first day of the week, Sunday, start preparing already for Shabbat. And Beit Hillel says, blessed be the Lord day by day. Okay? So now, before we go on here, I want to take a, this is a, we need to like, I need to ask you guys. So stop sharing, and you guys have to tell me, what do you think? Shammai's approach, Hillel's approach, who in this matrix, who's actually the one who has more faith? Okay, that's the one side of it. But on the flip side is, who's actually giving more honor, let's just say, to Shabbat, right? Is it Shammai, who's already from Sunday, is like saying, I need to make sure that I'm getting myself the best for Shabbat? Or is it, or not? Or is that like, who's got more faith? Who's so how would you like, let's go around. Everybody give me a, their feeling, like, who? Okay, start on the top here. I have you on the top as the Jaffees,
I think the first approach, I think, is kind of looking at it like, looking towards Shabbat throughout the whole week and how we could have the best Shabbat possible. Whereas second approach, like you said, it's going to just happen no matter what happens, and you when it comes time for it, whatever you have is going to be good enough. It's going to be the best that you can have.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. What, just again, this is all personal. Everybody, we all have our personal, just the way we are, our psychological constitution. What would you be more inclined, like, what's, would you be more of the Shammai school or of the Hillel school? Like, what would you feel more?
Carol says she's probably more Hillel. I think I'm probably more
Shammai.
Hillel.
Okay, fine. All right. All right, Mariana, you're the next one up. What do you think? Like, what's the more, I guess, let's say first, if it's Shabbos that's on our minds, right? So like, what would be more, let's say, respectful to Shabbat? Is it the Shammai approach of doing it from the beginning of the week, or maybe Hillel? I don't know.
Me?
Yeah.
I think the second approach is more appropriate. First of all, you believe in Shabbat, and like even manna was given Friday, you prepare for Shabbat. You don't prepare starting Monday. You don't accumulate.
So you're saying like the day you're supposed to wait till the end, closer to.
It's everything comes with the Lord. It doesn't kind of agree.
Okay. All right. I got. Okay. All right. How about, and so you're more comfortable with, you would say you're more with the Hillel approach?
I don't know if I'm like how I would behave, but I think it's more in line with everything. Like, it's logical for me to believe that second approach is better.
Okay.
It's the one with the Torah kind of.
Okay, which is, by the way, you should know, I'll throw this in there. When we come to, we have many arguments or let's say disagreements between Shammai and Hillel. In the end, this goes on and on, and then the Talmud tells us that we end up siding with Hillel, right? That when it comes to Psak Halacha, when we have to decide who we go with, the general rule is we go with Hillel. Not that there are some, a couple of exceptions to it, but that's usually that we go with Hillel, which is kind of interesting. I'm going to show you Rashi and Rambam, and it's interesting to see within the Rambam's approach. Rashi came earlier. Rambam Nachmanides comes about 200 years later, and you see in Nachmanides' beautiful Perush, his commentary on the Chumash, that he looks at Rashi. He many times quotes Rashi, the Ibn Ezra. He even quotes Maimonides. he's sitting like he has the luxury of being coming later in the chain. So he sees all of them, he kind of weighs them, and then he gives his own sometimes very critical, I know, he gives this critique of the others, and then he gives his own approach, which we'll see today about what he does with Rashi and Ibn Ezra, but fine. Okay, but happens to be the reason I bring it up is that he critiques Rashi because Rashi in his commentary actually goes with Shammai, kind of letting the secrets out of here a little too early, but so be it. And that Ramban, so you see, even in Rashi, Ramban goes with Hillel, that even in these, talking about our early commentators, that they are, they're not convinced of one or the other. So it's like there's a lot of room here for everybody to like say, I feel more comfortable with Shammai or Hillel. But okay, so I got David Moss here. I'm just looking at my screen. So David's like, you're next in line. So basically, again, so you got Shammai who's saying like, I got to start preparing from the beginning of the week. By the way, one of these things I'll show this, but I'm just going to throw it in here also, is that this is all based on the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment is in, and it's recorded in two places. One is in Yitro, which is in the book of Exodus, and then the other time is in Deuteronomy. Much later, when Moshe is reviewing the Torah, he comes up in Vayetchanan, and there are different accounts, and that's something that also gets everybody going. Is in the first one, it says remember the Shabbos, and then the second one says you have to keep the Shabbos, and they're different. Right, that's a very different approach. One's remember, one's to actually keep. So, okay, but is it be that as it may. So, David, what do you think, Shammai or Hillel?
So it's interesting, Lauren's here in the background with me,
Okay.
and my opinion is with Hillel, but Lauren had said something, the fact about preparing. Like I like to be prepared in advance, and I think Shabbat is an undertaking to make it special, and you do have to prepare a little bit in advance. A couple things here and there along the week to get up to the point that you're not overwhelmed on right before Shabbos.
Correct.
But I do feel like the trust factor is the most important thing. And ultimately, if I saw something in the market on a Monday, I might happen to just buy it because I think it would be wonderful for Shabbat, but I wouldn't feel like I need to grab it now because I won't have something, that's special for Shabbat.
Right. So I just as a, it just reminded me as we're saying, you're telling this, we were in Osher Ad. Alana and I were shopping, and we're in the vegetable aisle, and Alana's like looking at, I think it was zucchini or whatever, and this guy says to her, you have to say when you buy it, like say it that you're doing it for Shabbos, like you're buying this for Shabbos. And Alana's like, this is only in Israel, like that someone's gonna like stop you in the supermarket and say, by the way, when you're buying your zucchini, make a statement that you're buying it for Shabbat. It's kind of interesting. Okay. All right, I got the Hirshes there. They're next in line. Mark, you're next. I'll give you a heads up. Okay. You're muted, Eric, okay?
Yeah, no worries. So I can't relate to the game in terms of the definitions, but
okay,
so
so yeah,
I am gonna ask the question in terms of how do you define prepared being prepared? Because so it's interesting. So I'm mentally with Shammai because I'm singing Shabbos songs all week. So from time Shabbos ends, I am still kind of in Shabbos, and it's kind of the way that count, in terms of the way that the Torah keeps Shabbos in terms of the days like leading up to Shabbos, my head is kind of there. So it's never far away from me. So in terms of preparedness, it all depends on how you're defining that. So if you're defining physically, if you're defining preparing for the meal, then obviously I'm not doing that. But if you're talking about mentally preparing for it to happen again, I feel like I'm with Shammai. If you're talking about preparing for the actual meal and Shabbos to happen, then I would be, then maybe it's more towards Hillel, but I think it depends on the definition of preparedness.
But what's interesting is just I'll point this out now. When you think about it, is that when it says the Torah, remember, you have to remember Shabbat. So does that mean just on the day of right? When it comes to Friday afternoon and the sun is setting and that's time to remember it? Or does that mean that you constantly have to remember it? So by strict definition, we say that zachor, to remember, is that which gives us the reason to make kiddush and havdalah. So the act of making kiddush on Friday night, perhaps also making kiddush on the day, not sure. Perhaps yes, no, and then for sure havdalah, the bookends. That's your act of remembering because you're creating, you're defining the day, so to speak. That's the strict definition. But then the question is, do we take that idea of remembering and then comes, like you said, sunset on Saturday, right? And you're like, I'm getting ready for next Shabbos already. You know, it's like I'm in that zone, right? So does Zachor. So in a way, Shammai's approach is saying always going in that direction. Maybe, you know, like that. Whereas, and so then the question is on Hillel, okay, fine. You know, so we have to but at this point, and maybe that's a question of, we have to say Shammai Hillel, maybe there's something about the two of them and how they approach life in general that will impact this, how they approach this situation. Okay, so I got Mark, you're up.
Okay, so I'm not sure if it's Hillel or Shammai. Maybe it's a combination of both, because I think the emphasis is on this sort of arbitrary break between one Shabbos and the next. I view it as more of a continuum, and when I think about Shabbos and we read it every Shabbos in the Amidah, and it, the end of the Amidah, it's talking about bringing this Shabbos and set it into the week, and carrying us into the week and setting us up for for having a productive and happy and good week going forward. So I think of it more of during the week you're sort of being brought into the week and carried through from the prior Shabbos, but then at some point you that starts waning, and you start thinking about and getting ready for and get excited about the coming Shabbos.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it's Hillel or Shammai, because it's sort of, it's a combination of both.
Okay, so how about this? So let me just think for a second. So if you're living always in the Shabbos mode, let's say that I want to live in that. So one of the things that we would describe Shabbos as Me'ein Olam Haba. So you're living in in a different reality of the next world, even though the next world is not a good description. Rambam, Maimonides, actually describes Olam Haba as it's a parallel universe. So that we actually are able to enter into this more spiritual realm, which is like the next world, or call it the other world, or the other, and so Shabbos has a taste of that. We enter into that. We turn, we kind of get the noise out of the way. And so we're able to enter into a different space. Now the question is, you're saying, you're describing almost bringing that into the week. But the week is clearly defined. It says 6 days you should work, right? So the idea is that it's a physical reality. But again, could be that that's a realm that different people can always be in, which is possible. You know, it's like you're saying, in a certain sense, you have elements of that going on, which is very interesting. And that maybe that's where Shammai is coming from. Shammai lives in more of that realm, or his approach was more closer to that. Okay, or not. I don't know. It's interesting. Okay, fine. So I got Victoria. I don't know if you can speak and drive at the same time, or I don't want to get...
I can multitask. It's okay.
Okay.
So I do agree that I think it's a little bit of both, but I am more leaning towards the Hillel. Call me a procrastinator, but I do wait for last minute most of the times. But it's also, when it comes to Shabbos, I do truly believe that... Hashem will put on my table whatever I'm supposed to have on my table. But with that said, if throughout the week I do see something that I would like, that is special enough to have on a Shabbat table for Shabbos meal, then I would purchase it and take an advice that Ilana was giving and say, this is for my Shabbos table.
Got it. Okay. Now the screens are moving around on me. So I don't know if I missed... I got everybody else blacked out. So I don't know if anybody else who's like not showing their face, if they want to say something, want to pipe in here. Keep on moving. Okay. I got one question. Okay, sure.
You know, I always feel that there's this whole piece of total faith, which is kind of Hillel. Like, it's just going to happen at the moment I need it, which is amazing faith. But I always feel when I kind of read things that Hashem is also asking us to really act and to do something and to plan and be prepared and do whatever acts are needed to be the best prepared for the future. So, I mean, I do feel like from a action perspective that the first approach is kind of operationalizing kind of this concept, and Hillel is kind of going, I'm just blind to going to hope about, you know, that Hashem's going to deliver.
Right. So you're bringing up a great, so there is a principle. Ein somchen al hanes. We cannot rely on miracles, right? So from a practical standpoint, it would sound like what Shammai is saying is correct. Like, listen, let's be practical. During the week, at the beginning of the front end of the week, I see good stuff. I see a great sale and with high quality product. So I should really be buying like Shammai is doing. So like this idea, like you said, of relying like on the, you know, the Thursday, like Victoria said, like it's going to happen. Maybe there's a lack of, there's something lacking in that type of scenario. Okay, fine. I mean, it's a great question. So need to like figure it out. Okay, but it's a great point. And it definitely comes up in terms of that question mark. Can you rely on it? Okay. So let me, if anybody else has left that didn't speak or wants that I don't see, because I see other, everything was kind of, don't have it showing. Fine. So I'm going to bring up, let's look at the Ramban. Okay. All right, so here we go. So here's the Ramban. Now the Ramban is, again, like I said, he comes later and he has the luxury of having seen Rashi and the Ibn Ezra and Maimonides. And so he gets to see them and then comment on them. So let me just show you here very quickly that the issue that they're tackling is this idea, like we said earlier, that you have these two versions. You have remember the Sabbath day. This is the first count of the fourth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And then you have in Deuteronomy chapter 5, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And they're different, right? One is an active, right? You're supposed to do actively remember. And the other one is to observe, is to like actually be careful, to protect, in a sense, the day of Shabbat and keep it holy. But you start to see in the two renditions that there's a lot. You start to notice that there are a lot of things that are different, and the rabbis make note of this. And let's take a look here. So first, the Ramban. It's a beautiful. This first paragraph, you can access this by going on Safari. And if you want, I can send out the link to this, because this first paragraph is a beauty. After he commanded that we believe in the proper name of God. So think about the Ten Commandments. It starts out by telling us that God says, I am the God who took you out of the land of Egypt. And then it says you can't say his name. You can't worship other gods, you can't say his name in vain. And then we come to the fourth. So after he commanded that we believe in the proper name of God, blessed be he, that he exists, that he is the creator, that he understands and watches all that happens to man, and that he is all powerful. And after commanding that we should direct both our faith in all these matters and all honor towards him alone. And he further commanded that the remembrance of his name be done in a manner of respect, he now commanded that we make in this matter a sign and a perpetual remembrance to let it be known that he created everything. This is in the commandment of the Sabbath, which is the remembrance of the creation. So what Nachman is saying is that the fourth commandment is coming as a continuum, that the first three, it's really like A, you know, one, two, three, And then all of that is being pushed into, it's being consolidated into this day called Shabbos. So just to read it again. He said we have to believe in the proper name of God, that he exists, that he is the creator, that he understands, right? He watches over all that happens to man, and that he is the all-powerful, and that we should direct both our faith in all these matters and all honor towards him alone. He also commanded us the remembrance of his name be done in a manner of respect, and now commanded that we make in this matter a sign and a perpetual remembrance to let it be known that he created everything, and that this is the commandment of Shabbat, which is a remembrance of the creation. Okay, so like it's a very interesting idea, like of a novel idea. So he's like saying, don't think that the first, second, and third are standalones, but rather they're really like building something towards, and that when we get to Shabbos, what we're doing is we're really it's a conglomerate of all these ideas, and that we're really like it's a focus on God, his oneness, his, you know, the creator, he's also involved in our daily lives. Fine. So now the Ramban, Nachmanides, he says, okay, what about this idea that you have different versions of the Ten Commandments? Now he said here, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and in the book of Deuteronomy is written, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Our rabbis have said with respect to these verses, remember and observe were both spoken with one utterance. So this teaching says that we should know that when God gave us the Ten Commandments, he actually said version one and version two simultaneously. Remember and observe. He said it at the same exact time. When it came to Moses recounting it, so he gives over one piece in the Exodus version and then tells us, by the way, God also said, observe the Sabbath day at the same exact time. And that's what the rabbis tell us, that that's what's going on here. You want to know why there's different versions? It's actually an expression of this being said at the same times. So far. So they say it was said simultaneously. Now, the rabbis were not so particular as to comment on the other changes of language between the Ten Commandments written here and those in the book of Deuteronomy. They commented only on the above-mentioned change because their intent is to point out that Zachor, remember, constitute a positive commandment, that he commanded that we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and that we do not forget it, as will be explained further on. They considered Shamor, observe, on the other hand, as a negative commandment, just as they have said, whatever Scripture says, take heed, or lest, or do not, there is a negative commandment. It warns us that we should watch it, the Sabbath, to keep it holy, and that we should not profane it. Thus, clearly implying both a positive commandment and a negative one with respect to Shabbos, to the Sabbath. It should not have been, it would not have been proper for Moses to change God's words from a positive commandment to a negative commandment, right? So like, meaning if you were just reading this without having said, oh, this is God said it simultaneously, Moses just has to give it over in a linear way, right? In writing, so he has to tell us, in version one aspect of it. And the second one, if you were just reading and saying, wait a second, in Deuteronomy 40 years later, Moses is making changes, like that, you know, how is that possible that he took a positive commandment in version one and he's changing it? So that can't be what's going on. Therefore, the rabbis were careful to point out that both remember and observe were spoken by God in what utterance, right? So that's what they're coming to tell us. Like, understand, this is not Moses giving us his, you know, comment, you know, changing it in any way, but rather this is how it was given over by God at the time of the revelation. So, however, the change in the second commandment from "and" in any manner of likeness to any manner of likeness, omitting the vav and then adding it, which is found here in verse 5. Okay, so there are other places where, so that's not as blaring as, like, you know, here he's changing it from a positive to a negative. So that's why they focus on that, but In general, we see there are multiple places where there are changes, and it really goes back to this idea that there are two like things being said at the same time that you can't capture in writing, so you had to give it two versions, and then it's our job to put them together and to understand what was being communicated at the time. Okay, now, let's just jump ahead here. Okay, let's give you, okay. We want to really go back to our Okay. I want to get to our Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel issue. In the explanation of the word Zachor, Rashi wrote, "Take care always to remember the Sabbath day, so that if a food of good quality happens to come your way, you should put away for the Sabbath." Okay? Who is that? So Beit Hillel, so I'm sorry, is it Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel? Is it Hillel or Shammai? So Rashi's quoting the teaching of Shammai. This is a braita taught in the Mechilta in the following way. Rabbi Elazar, the son of Hananya, and the son of Chizkia, the son of Garon, says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and remember it from the first day of the week, so that if a good portion happens to come your way, prepare it for the Sabbath." But this braita in the Mechilta is taught in the name of a single sage and is not the final decision of law. In the Talmud and the Gemara, we find that the rabbis have said, "We have been taught in the braita. They have told about Shammai the elder that all his life he ate in honor of the Sabbath. How so? If he found a beautiful animal to buy, he would say, 'This one will be in honor of the Sabbath.' On the following day, if he would find a more beautiful one, he left the second one for the Sabbath and ate the first. But Hillel the elder was guided by another principle. All his deeds were for the sake of heaven, and as it said, 'Blessed by the eternal day by day, he beareth our burden.' We have also been taught in another braita, the school of Shammai say that on the first day of the week we should begin preparing for the Sabbath. And the school of Hillel said this idea, 'Blessed be the eternal day by day, he beareth our burden.'" So now, seeing he keeps on repeating, he's giving us these different teachings. And then we find that Shammai, the elder, remembering means remember it before it comes. Observing means observe it when it comes. It was told of Shammai the elder that the memory of Sabbath never left his lips. If he bought a good article, he would say, "This is for the Sabbath." A new garment, he would say, "This is for the Sabbath." But Hillel the elder was guided by another principle for he would say, "Let all thy deeds be done for the sake of heaven." And the accepted decision is like that of the school of Hillel. Thus, it is clear that Rashi's explanation is that, like that of Shammai the elder or the school of Shammai, while the accepted decision of law is like that of Hillel or that of the school of Hillel. So the Ramban is kind of calling out Rashi here, and he's saying, it seems like Rashi's siding with Shammai, but we always kind of, when it comes to deciding the law, we go with the approach of Hillel. So in line with the plain meaning of the scripture, the rabbis have said that this verse commands us that we should always remember the Sabbath on every day, so that we should neither forget it nor confuse it with the other days. By always remembering the Sabbath, it will at all times remind us of the creation and will forever acknowledge that the universe has a creator and that he commanded us regarding the sign, the Sabbath, as he said, "For it is a sign between me and you," this being a fundamental principle in the belief of God. So going back to like what Eric was saying and to this idea, by the way, we actually... in practice, one of the things that we're supposed to do is we say like the Shir Shel Yom, we say the Psalm of the day. And we begin it by saying, today is Sunday, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbat, that this is the first day of the Sabbath, of the week. But really, it's the idea of that it's the first, and it's always leading us towards the Sabbath. So on a daily basis, we do have this obligation to remember the Sabbath and to constantly have it in front of our in our mind's eye, so to speak. So there's something going on here about this, so Shammai's teaching, or at least the way his practice, seems to fall in line with this idea. The meaning of Lakah, yeah.
So is it really so different to do it in something in honor of Shabbat versus doing it in honor of heaven? Meaning, I feel like they're splitting hairs to a certain degree here, in terms of what they're thinking.
So you could, let's say I'm Hillel, okay? So let's say we're Hillel. So in Hillel's world, he would agree with this idea that every day of the week is taking us towards Shabbos. So like, we always have to remember Shabbos. Today is the first day towards Shabbos. So today's the second day towards third, fourth, and fifth. So that we're going towards that. And even Hillel will say that. It's just now, if you take a step back, what we're really saying is in the Talmud, what's their approach to prep? Do I have to start preparing the beginning of the week, or can I rely on the fact that, and then this comes to Idana's question, like, you know, how much can I rely on, you know, the miraculous, or maybe it's not so miraculous, or maybe, you know, that's another question about, like, in terms of, you know, today especially, we're totally, like, you know, spoiled because we can go to the store, even on maybe taking to Friday morning, you're getting a little risky there, but maybe not. Maybe because you always know that there's going to be there. So you can, you know, I don't even know. Because like there, it's like, you know, they're talking about a situation where we don't have, they didn't have that luxury. They didn't have the store. They were coming across animals that they were going to use to actually slaughter, you know, in preparation for the food that they were going to be eating that Shabbat. So, you know, kind of takes away the, but it definitely is a mind, it's a mindset. So the Hillel mindset of like, I can rely on, you know, things falling into place, so to speak, later in the week. You know, this idea of planning and setting up and getting ready, maybe, you know, the Shammai approach. And so what's interesting is that, can you make the separation that you can say, I have in my mind, I'm always thinking Shabbos, like Mark was saying, you know, like I'm coming off of Shabbos and I'm going towards Shabbos, you know, like that kind of idea. That's always got to be there. That's part of the directive. Even though we do say this idea of like the actual remember is Kiddush and Havdalah, because like when it comes down to game time, when we start the day, we need to like actually make a proclamation. It's Shabbos. And when it's ending, Shabbos is over. Like those, you know, the bookends. So that's like remembering in the active sense. But now then the question becomes, now from that point, do I extend it and I bring it into the week and how I'm thinking about it during the week?
It seems like as if they would wish that every single day were Shabbat.
Well, is that true? Would Hillel say that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it seems like if every moment of your life is an experience of your week, is either put into the Shabbat bucket or not. Like, this will be for Shabbat, this won't be for Shabbat, this will be for Shabbat, this won't be for Shabbat. It's almost as if they wish every single day were Shabbat. It's almost like a piece of like what of the world to come, in a sense.
So I think that, so one of the explanations that I saw was that Hillel and Shammai come from different schools, obviously. They so, you know, there are people that will kind of try to define their multiple arguments and boil it down to certain ideas. One is that Shammai is coming from more of a top down, from, like, say, the spiritual world down into the physical realm, and that Hillel is coming from the ground up. Where it's most pronounced is coming up in Hanukkah. Shammai and Hillel disagree as to how we should light the menorah. Hillel is, you build up. Shammai is you start out with 8 candles and then you go down, and right. So Shammai comes from more of the let's say Olam Haba, let's say live in that type of existence type of thing. Let's just say, even though to simplify their arguments to that, it's you know, I saw another the Ben Yoyada, who's the Ben Ishchai. He says that he actually says that their traits were different, that Shammai came from more of a, what we call the Gevura Din type of aspect, much more exact, with like holding back, whereas Hillel came from more of the Omo Chesed of like giving. So that in a sense, like if one's more, you know, like the idea of the first attribute of Gevura, of holding back, it's like, you know, symptom of the idea of constriction. So in his world, if I come across an animal on day one, I got to buy it, because the way I see the world, it's not a world of abundance. It's a little bit more tighter. Whereas Hillel sees the world as just flowing with openness. And so things are constantly coming and there's more of this, a world of expansion, chesed. And so that's the Benyo Yada's thing. He's like, yeah, of course Shammai has to start preparing for the beginning of the week, because in his mind, there's just not going to be, I don't know what's going to be. It's not a world that's just of this endless abundance. Hillel saw it differently. So it's like, or the half full, half empty glass, you know? That could be like, you know, based on the way they approach things, that's how they're going to treat this thing. Okay, that's these different things. But again, in terms of, so then the Ramban goes on and again brings us this idea, which I think is very important for how we understand the meaning of Lekadsho, to make it holy, is that a remembrance of it should be to the end that it be holy to us, just as he said, and call the Sabbath a delight, the sacred of the eternal honorable. The purport of this is that the resting thereon should be ours because it is a holy day, which enables us to turn away from our mental preoccupations and vanities of the times, and instead to give delight to our souls in the ways of God, and go to the sages and to the prophets to hear the words of God. So he's describing beautifully here, like when we get to Shabbos, right, it's this idea of, like in our world, turning off all the distractions and to be present. And then also to then not just be present, but also to be able to study and expand our abilities to like tap into God and to our incredible, heritage of wisdom that we have access to, that we need to. And so then he talks about this idea that when it comes to Shabbos and the new moon and our holidays, that it's a time to study and to be able to go and hear lectures and or tap into the knowledge of that's there available to us, and to be make it a day of spiritual growth and learning. Fine. So now, let me just see what else we got to cover here in the Chmamis. Okay, so now I say further that this is the intent of Shammah the Elder's interpretation, who explained the command remember as meaning remember the Sabbath before it comes. That is to say, we should by no means forget it. By counting the days of the week with reference to the Sabbath, forgetting it will be thus impossible. But in the Brayta quoted above, they also mention a degree of his piety, i.e. that he would remember the Sabbath even in his eating. For all his life he would eat in honor of the Sabbath. Now Hill himself agreed to the interpretation of Shammai, that we are to count the days of the week with reference to the Sabbath. But in food matters, he followed another principle. For all of his deeds were for the sake of heaven, and he trusted in God that he would provide him with a better portion for the Sabbath than that of all the other days of the week. Okay, so you see here that he's making this differentiation, right? He's saying these are two separate things, right? Remember being like aware of all the time. Remember, we should always be aware of the Shabbos. But when it comes to our physical involvement in the world during the week, that was where they kind of diverged. However, our rabbis have yet another midrash on the word Lekadsho, to keep it holy, namely that we are to sanctify it by the utterance of words. This is similar in the usage of the verse, and ye shall hallow the 50th year, which requires the sanctification of the court. So this is coming when it comes to Yovel, to the Jubilee year. They had to make a proclamation that it's now the Jubilee year. Here too, he commanded that we remember the Sabbath day by proclaiming its sanctity. And so the rabbis have said in the Mechilta to keep it holy, sanctify it by reciting a blessing. Based on this verse, the rabbis have said, on its entrance, proclaim the sanctity of the Sabbath over wine. But from this verse, I know only the sanctification for the day. Whence do we know that this applies also for the night? We know it for the words, and ye shall keep the Sabbath. So it's interesting. So now Ramban, he's making reference to this idea of when do you make Kiddush? Do you make Kiddush at night, or do you make Kiddush during the day? So he ends up coming out and he says that really it makes sense to do it at night, because you do it at the beginning of, the idea is to always do it at the beginning. When do I make this demarcation? When things are starting. So therefore, really it should be done at night, similar to the way when the Jubilee year starts, do it also from the beginning of it. Okay. And that's what it comes down. The Gemara in Pesachim, the way we end up practicing is this idea, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, that is to remember it over wine at its entrance. From this I know only that it's done at daytime. Whence do I know that it's done at night? From the Sabbath, on the verb. So this time it's seeking to find a basis for the sanctification at night, and he mentions a verse which speaks of the day. Besides, so the issue ultimately becomes, like I just basically told you, it makes more sense to do it when it starts. But then the way it's saying, remember the day, so it should, you know, that would make it sound like you should, that it's the daytime and not the nighttime. So once we know that it must be done, so in the end, the logic is that you do it when it starts. And so that's kind of like, I kind of threw that at you and told you, like, I kind of imposed that on you without going through the Rambans back and forth. But the idea, the takeaway is that it's at the beginning of when it starts. That's the model. Because again, that's the way of creating our ability to, you know, make it like the structure of when it's starting. Okay. So now, coming back to this, so we have Shammai, who is, you know, I in a way, like, again, we have just say like what it is, and then, you know, exactly how, you know, the different schools of approach. So Shammai, the whole week, he goes from day one, he sees the best thing, he's right away setting it aside, whereas Hillel saying, not necessary, I can wait till the end of the week. What's interesting is the Gemara does, like, it shows us, it says something interesting, that by the way Shammai approached it, when he ate, everything he ate was for the Sabbath, even during the week, because everything he was setting aside was for Shabbos, so that when he did the switcheroo, now that the thing he's eating is actually in honor of Shabbos, even though it's on Monday. So there was like that little, like, I don't know if you noticed that little, like, that subtle turn, and if you go back, I'll show you it in the Talmud. Let's bring it up here one more time, so you can see this little subtle, you know, shift here. But here it says, if he subsequently found another one choicer than it, he would set aside the second for the Shabbos and eat it first. He would eat the first to leave the better quality animal for Shabbos, which continually rendered his eating an act of honoring Shabbos. So like his whole, everything he did eating-wise was always like Shabbos, quote-unquote Shabbos mode, because everything that he was buying was always for Shabbos, and then as he was doing this like changeover, it was always in that mode, whereas Hillel was not in that mindset. He was not, he wasn't buying the meat or buying the animal on Sunday and Monday for Shabbos, so that just wasn't his approach. So as much as his mindset was, okay, I always have Shabbos in mind, but in terms of his daily living, it wasn't Shabbos. Beis Shammai was. So going back to what we said originally, the earlier idea was that Shammai's whole existence was more in that realm of Shabbos mode, and therefore he translated that into the way he ate during the week, is the way that Gemara is saying here at the end, with this little add-on. Whereas Hillel's approach, Mida Acheres Haitalo, he had a different approach, but all of his acts were for the Shem Shammai, for the sake of heaven. And this, it's every time you see the quotation of a sentence, of a verse, I think it's always, like, you know, very important. So blessed be the Lord day by day. He bears our burden, our God, who is our salvation, Selah. Meaning that every day was, it's, you know, Shabbos is of the most importance, and the way the Ramban framed it for us, that it actually has within it all the beliefs, that the core beliefs that are stated in the Ten Commandments, the first three, are now brought into the fourth commandment. Believe in God, the Creator, the one who's consistently, you know, involved in our lives, and we have to be extremely respectful, never to say his name in vain. And that brings us to Shabbos, which is the commemoration of two things, of creation and also taking us out of Egypt, which is the idea of God being involved in our daily lives. But then you have, so that's Shabbos for us. But then Hillel's going along day by day, you know, that, okay, it means that at the end of the week, he'll send us what we need. But in a way, he's really focused on the, you know, the 6 days of the week. And even though they're mundane, blessed be the Lord day by day. So in a certain sense, he sees a sanctification. Maybe you would, like, even turn it and say that Hillel's approach is more like where Shammai is saying, I need it always to be Shabbos. Whereas Hillel's saying, no, like, even during the week, God blesses everything day by day, that there's holiness that I can find in this mundane world. When I go to work, I can sanctify God. Everything I do, when I'm honest in business, and when I do the right thing, when I'm helping others, when I'm doing what's good for my family, and all the things that are in regular everyday life, that's Hillel saying, you know what? Baruch Hashem, yom yom. Blessed be the Lord day by day, right? He bears our burden, and God, who is our salvation, that God's with us. It's not just Shabbos, but, like, you know, in a certain sense, he's bringing us on a daily basis. So like you start to see, like, when, and this is, again, to think about the Shammai Hillel approaches, that in a way there is this, like, you know, maybe Hillel's a little bit more in this world, and maybe in a certain sense that's why we end up poskening. We end up saying that we really end up in all the different disagreements that they have, I'm going to go with Hillel in this world, and that maybe in the next world, or after the times of Mashiach, when things are going to change a little bit, that it's going to become more of a spiritual, more of this, like, spiritual existence, that we're going to end up, like, siding with Shammai, because we see a little bit in this Gemara here that it's showing us the two schools of thought, that one is more focused on this, like, Shabbos existence and bring that Shabbos existence into the week, but that Hillel's saying, wait a second, every day God's involved, and every day I can bring God into the week, into the mundane, and sanctify that. And in a way, we see this idea that we have this, you know, the different types of sacrifices that are brought. There is a shlamim, and there is an ola. So the shlamim is actually like the way we have the Paschal lamb, right? The Passover, the special carbon, the special sacrifice that we bring on Passover is called is a shlamim type, which means that half of it's burnt to God, and the other half is actually, we eat it. That's part of the mitzvah. The commandment is, and we sanctify eating by elevating the process of eating. It's a holy thing, it's a holy act in the shlamim. Whereas the ola is, you take the sacrifice and it's all burnt to God. That we say that there's no element of sanctifying the physicality there. And these are two types of karbanot, two types of sacrifices. But in there, I think in a certain sense, you have kind of like these two schools of thought of where Hillel's kind of a shlamim, where he's saying you can take a physical act like eating and make it holy. And you can take the entire week of physical things and make them holy by bringing it every day. God's there. He's my partner. We're doing everything. And every time I do something, I bring that faith of Hillel, which says everything is, God's going to provide what I need. And so it will translate. I'm going to be honest in everything I do, because I know God's going to provide. So I don't need to change. I can go by the rules and I'm going to be just fine, because God will provide. God blesses every day. So it's just, I saw this and I said, I got, you know, this is just the beginning, but like, it's something to think about, these ideas of Hillel and Shammai, Nachmanides, Ramban's idea of the three first commandments, those ideas coming into Shabbos, bring them in, you know, and then this idea of the mindfulness of having Shabbos in our minds every day of the week, but at the same time, the Hillel approach of every day is holy and God can be there with me and sanctify everything I do and elevate everything I do as I go through the week. And so, like, you have all these things, and one should not necessarily negate the other. It's just, that's an amazing...
Which side do you fall upon?
Who do I go
yourself,
with?
Yourself. As Jonathan Kaplan's walking around Yerushalayim and he passes to something in Machi Yehuda, is he like, ah, that's going to be important? Like, oh, I want it now.
I eat it now, but it's just because I can't help myself. I think the idea, like, our luxury here is when we get to learn the Hillel and Shammai, you know, like, it's like, it's the beauty of Torah is Elu ve'Elu divrei Elokim chayim. These are both true. And that's how expansive it is. It's like, you have to, like, you know, try to be, you know.
But I think I would fall on more towards every single moment is precious. Every single thing, every little mundane thing that you experience is precious. And therefore you have to be in that moment. And yeah, Shabbat's going to come. But I can't miss out.
Right, so that's
appreciating.
Correct. So that's
every little thing that goes in front of me has to be appreciated.
Correct. So to say that Shammai wouldn't agree with what you just said, but that's more the Hillel approach. But so that's that's Hillel saying, like, every moment, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, every day, blessed God, every day, that every moment Hashem is there and involved with us, so that there's not a moment in time that He's not there for us, and we don't have an opportunity to elevate this, you know. So I was just as a little aside, again, another thing I learned, you know, share with you, is that studying Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was a student of the Vilna Gaon, so he lived about, let's say, 200 years ago, And in his writing, Nefesh HaChaim, he describes that we don't necessarily we're not attuned to the idea, but we should know that everything we do has such a major impact in terms of our ability to impact the world, both here and in the upper realms of the spiritual realms. And he learns that. He gets this idea from the creation story that God created us in his image. It doesn't mean literally. God doesn't have an image. So what does it mean that God created us in his image? Is that God is the all-powerful, all energy of the world, everything that exists is coming from God. He's like our lifeline, so to speak. And that when God created us in his image, it means that God gave us a tremendous amount of power. But that power means that we can impact this creation. He empowered humanity to be able to make major, major impact on this world, the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. And so that we don't appreciate the power that we have to impact things. So we can impact our, you know, people, friends, loved ones, etc. But also when we do things that are proper, we impact the world in ways we can't even fathom. It's a very powerful idea. I was saying, when I was learning with my friends, I said, I don't think we really have the ability to internalize. It's one of those things that's out there. But it's an idea that's very important for us to know. So like this idea that when Hillel says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, every day is blessed by God, that we have the ability also as partners with God to be able to elevate the world in every moment as we're involved. So that's there. And at the same time, as we, you know, saw, like as people expressed the idea of the power of Shabbos, that as we go towards that day, that we can really connect in even a higher level, that's also something extremely special. Okay. Okay. All right. So Lana wants to say something.
Hi. I just wanted to answer Hugh's question a little bit because.
Walking around.
What?
Walking around in Jerusalem?
No. Oh. Well, but yeah, walking in Jerusalem. But sometimes Jonathan will open a bottle of wine at dinner during the week, and I'll say to him, well, why are we having, shouldn't we save that wine for Shabbos? And he'll say to me, no, that's a weekday wine. This is like a lower level wine. We have the nicer bottles of wine for Shabbos. So it does come up.
The only problem is that I buy that like months before, so I don't know.
Nice.
Right. Yes.
Very good. Thank you, Jonathan.
Sure.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Good to see you.
Hi,
Hershes.
That was great.